consonants. The first consonant we're going to look at is the Z sound. Remember that Z can also be spelled with an S. If we get a plural at the end of a word, like words, that final S, plural S, is pronounced as a Z, of course. So this Z sound is articulated with a little bit more of the blade of the tongue. So if a Z sound is made normally with your tongue curling up towards your gum ridge behind your upper front teeth, the Z symbol that we're going for here is tends to be made with your mouth a little bit more closed and a little bit more of the middle of your tongue also arching up. So Z, Z, Z just makes it a little bit more closed, changes the nature of the buzziness a little bit. So the sample that I'm referencing, the phrase old zu, zu, old zu, and we got a little link, zu. So it also sounds like we're saying j a little bit, old zu, old zu. So that z sound is, again, made with a little bit more of the tongue arching up. The consonant at the end of a word, a stop plosive, usually a voiceless stop plosive, those, so that's P, T, or K, are often unreleased. So in the sample passage, we had the phrase district, and kt normally would be with a little puff of air, k, or t, district, and we combine those into a single action. Here we're releasing both of them, kt, but this is being done as an ejective. Perhaps it'll be hard for the mic to pick this up, but this is done sort of with a hold in your throat, and the pressure is done between your vocal folds and the release. So, district. District. Another example in the sample passage is the word picket. So that little KT has that. So final T, a word like hit, might just have that little ejective release on the end of it. A word like stop, stop, we could have just a little spit on that stop. Or a word like back, we could just have a little ejective on it. The ch sound, which normally spelled ch in regular spelling, in words like church, again, the second half of it, the sh part of the ch, ch, that release of it, is again made with more of the middle of the tongue up, so the tongue is less curling and more arching. So we get much, much. It changes the nature of the release of the ch sound, so ch, ch. A little bit more closed, almost as if your tongue tip is staying down and you're doing it more with the middle of the tongue. Similarly, the J sound, what usually is represented with the J in English spelling, but we get it in words like edge, is going to be done with the middle of the tongue. So instead of J with a curl of the tongue, we get edge, edge, and more of the middle of the tongue is up. Now, the TH sound in words like that, then, those THs are voiced THs, and voiced THs are more common in English than voiceless THs. The voiced TH is likely to be d or z. Sometimes it'll be d. So there are three possibilities for that. So we might get zat, zen, or de for those possibilities. You can actually have some variability about this. It's not necessarily just one thing for your character. Because the TH sounds are not in Japanese, this is frequently a sound that Japanese speakers are working to get correct. So sometimes we get a TH pronunciation, th or a th, but very careful pronunciation. So that's, you know, we're careful and a little bit overlong as making sure you get that articulation right. TH is perhaps a slightly culturally uncomfortable sound in Japanese, as showing the tongue is considered impolite. So likely that the is going to be made just with the front edge of the tongue, barely touching the teeth, so not sticking out your tongue a lot. Some speakers really project their tongue forward when they make TH. That should not be happening in Japanese. So the voiceless TH, like in word thing or thin, or at the end of words like bath or mouth, typically is going to go to a more S-like sound, so mouse, or that middle-of-the-tongue version, mouse, right? That's the symbol with the C with the curly tail, mouse. ING endings have a couple of possibilities. One is to put a hard G on the end of it and perhaps a little release. So we might get a word like liking, pronounced as Reiking. So we get the N and a little G on the end of it. Tiny release of the G. The other possibility is that there will be no consonant at all, and we get waiting. And so the final ing drops the articulation of that consonant, and we just get a nasal vowel. So, ing, ing, waiting. So, drawing, riding, reading. That's a fairly common articulation, and I would expect that that would be probably more common than the one with the hard G on the end of it. The next sound that we're going to look at is a replacement for F. F is not part of Japanese really. When you look at the romanization of Japanese, romaji, as we've discussed, the F symbol, what people spell Japanese with an F, so a word like hurigana or Mount Fuji, right? Fuji film, for instance. The Mount Fuji is written F-U-J-I, but the F isn't really an F. It's a bilabial voiceless fricative. So voiceless meaning no voicing, it's just air. Bilabial, your two lips, so like a P or an M, your lips are articulating it. And a fricative, so it's a frictiony sound. So bring your lips together, not like a kiss, but sort of as if you were about to hum and then blow a little bit of air through that. So from, official. So that F, you don't articulate with your teeth. You articulate the F with your two lips. So that's a little interesting change. V, on the other hand, V is a more rare sound, and V with two lips is possible. V. The other possibility is that becomes a B. So believe becomes something like believe. A word like very sometimes comes out as beri. So we got to watch out for that, partly because it sounds a little bit like Spanish. Spanish also sometimes struggles with V, B coming together. So if you are very articulate, you're probably going to work on F and V, and that, again, might get a little over-articulated. The voiceless WH, when we get a word like when, where, you might have learned this as a speech training thing. It's very archaic, old-fashioned British speech might use it. That's kind of good speech for the American stage, Edith Skinner style. That voiceless W, it's always spelled WH. This may be substituted with that Japanese F-like sound. So, when, where. So, the voiceless W, when, where, has some rounding to it, and the back of the tongue is engaged in the same way that W has the back of the tongue engaged. This friction with the lips that we get in Japanese does not involve the back of the tongue. The tongue should just stay relaxed, and the friction should happen on the front of the lips. When, where. I would think that this would be for someone with a stronger accent. Someone who's more sophisticated with their English would just have a W. They would learn how to do it correctly. Regular W, we might have a little bit less lip rounding on the W. When, where. And that might be more like that Japanese vowel U that we've looked at already. U. So that's the doubled U symbol in the IPA, an upside down M, ü, when, work. The sh sound will also have that bit of the tongue, the middle of the tongue coming up, he, the curly-tailed C is the IPA symbol, he. So it does feel a little bit like the front of your tongue is less active, and just behind that, about a centimeter behind, a little bit more active. I would expect that the y sound, like in rouge, would also be articulated in the same way. This is a much rarer sound, much less common. Leisure, beige, if that was to come out, we would articulate it in the same manner. When we have N at the end of a word, we might get more of the same laminal middle of the tongue articulation if it's linking into a vowel. So, in a, inya, inya. So it's a bit like when I'm saying nya, 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 nya. That's the most common place where we would use that nya sound. Some people say onion in that way. I don't, but some people do. This nya sound, so inya, you sometimes will get that final end going into a vowel, or n at the end of a syllable going into a vowel syllable. L in the between two vowels, again, Japanese does not have L, and so they tend to substitute their tapped R. In a word like immediately, we get that little tap. As you get more sophisticated with your English, a Japanese speaker is going to say immediately, more of an R, and then very sophisticated, immediately, they'll actually get that correct L, though it may take some concentration or focus to get it right. So the first articulation, which probably is preferred, riri, we get that little tap. It's almost like a D. You hear it sometimes in a British accent, very, very lovely, that very quick tapped R. And here we get riri, very, that's not with an L. I'm trying to think of a word, falling, yeah, very brief little tap. Final L's at the end of a syllable after a vowel is going to be a vowel. So sort of like a Cockney accent, except with no lip rounding. So in Cockney, we might have something like the word feel, and it's sort of like an oo. Here, there's no lip rounding, so we get feel. In the sample passage, we had the word herself. And so the L is made just really with that closure, ooh, herself. And that does it for consonants.